WRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
It is our number three of the Sports Hangover. Our thanks, as always, for tuning us in. Don't forget, you can catch us on the TuneIn radio apps absolutely free. It's super easy. Click it, download it, and type in ESPN New Orleans, ESPN 1003, and it'll pop up. Once you tap it, it'll save to that first page you get to when you open the app from there on out, man. It's incredible. So anything on ESPN New Orleans, anything, of course, that we have from ESPN as well is a way to do that. You can stream us as well on your laptop, ESPN.com, or use your phone browser to go that way as well, ESPN1003.com, and click Listen Live. As always, on Tuesdays, we like to bring in Tim Grubbs, talk a little Major League Baseball headlines. Oh, no. Voice of the Baby Cakes, and also tonight, voice for CST's coverage of Nichols and Tulane, weather permitting. Tim, are you out there in a storm tracker? Everybody seems to have a storm tracker now. Is the Grubbs Mobile sans car seat ready for it to be a storm tracker tonight?
Well, I'm hoping that they let me know what the. I just, in fact, while we were on hold, I was talking to Joey about what the weather was like. I'm still in Metairie. I haven't started to trek down to Thibodeau yet, but hopefully they can give me a little bit of an idea before I get on the road. We're going to play baseball tonight or not?
Joey says Thibodeau is still there, so you're good to go. Look, here's the thing that's interesting. I just finished talking to Todd about this matchup here. Well, we'll just start out with you since you are going to call the game here. I think this year we're going to get back to what we've seen in the norm in the last couple of seasons where it was a bit of a low. But, look, I think you're going to have a half-dozen teams competing to try to get into some regional play here as well. I don't think Tulane's start is a fluke. Hitting is hitting, and a better job on pitching with Daniel Latham is going to be that help there as well. And – when we spoke about Nichols baseball at the beginning of the season, you know, Coach Seth there was like, hey, look, you know, last year's team kind of started playing better towards the year, kind of grown up. You have a lot of players back that are in it. And I think you've kind of seen that evidence in their 6-1 start.
Absolutely. I think both teams are pretty good. The one thing that's, you know, more noticeable, because obviously I've done a couple Tulane games already this season, and I'm sure Graf has pointed this out to you, and you've done a game, is, you know, Tulane's pitching has always been pretty decent. You know what I mean? You always see Tulane, and defensively they play well. But I don't know if I remember, at least in recent memory. Now, I do remember, you know, when you go back over a decade, you know, when they had their top-ranked teams that were going to the College World Series. An offense that looked this good. You know, I mean, those guys can really hit it. They're not striking out that much, and they're hitting more home runs than normal, which that could taper off. That could be part of the partly to do with the way the wind's blowing and stuff like that. But they are swinging the bat well and making a lot of contact. And that's, you know, if you can do that every night, you know, night in and night out, it can erase some other mistakes that you can make. And you're in for a great season.
No doubt. And I think one of the things, if this game gets going on with the weather, what do you think will be key? Because both starting pitchers kind of seem to be getting off to a nice start. So I guess that early first three innings could be a key.
Yeah, when you look at both guys' stats, both guys have ERAs under one, and you're like, wow, this is great. You know what I mean? When you see a pitching matchup like this, you don't expect that on a Tuesday. You know what I mean? This looks more like, you know, two Friday night starters lining up when you see stats like that. And I know it's early in the year, but obviously, you know, I think both pitchers are going to pitch well. And like you just said, usually in the first three innings, you know, if there's a crack in the armor of one of them, and maybe there's an error or a ball that gets it drops in or something like that, and all of a sudden a team gets an early lead, it could be the difference maker in today's game.
Yeah, no doubt, for sure. Let's talk a little Major League Baseball with you as well. Of course, voice of the Baby Cakes, the Marlins, the parent ball club there. One of the outfield prospects there, Victor Mesa, right? Is it Victor Mesa? Is that's
yeah,
that's
he's true, got son. The double Victor. Yeah, it's Victor, okay. Victor Mesa.
All right, I was making sure it wasn't a typo. I'm like, it's double. Diagnosed with a grade 1 hamstring, and reassigned to the minor league rehab. he's highly regarded by this organization, right? I mean, could we see him start the season here, or is that a little too early?
When they signed him back in November, I thought that that's probably where he would start, you know, because of the different things that I was reading. But over time, you know, because he was playing in Cuba and he didn't play a lot of baseball last year because he was in this whole process of coming to the United States and signing with a major league team. I don't think we'll see him at least at the start this year. I think he's going to start at a lower level. I think they're going to, the Marlins, unlike your Cubs and unlike, you know, I don't think they're going to be in a huge rush to get this guy to the big leagues because they know that it's not going to be a winning season. So I think they're going to start it slow with him. I wouldn't be surprised if he started in Jupiter, which is their high A team, especially now that he's had an injury, or he starts in double A. But, you know, before the end of the year, we could very likely see this guy, especially if he lives up to the hype. I mean, if it's the guy that is as good as advertised, I think he could jump three levels pretty quickly.
All right. I'm shocked it took me this long to get to it. But did you see the first at bat for Chris Bryant this year?
I did not. He hit a homer, I assume.
Ah, there it is. Deep left center field. It could be. It is a home run. First at bat, and the Cubs keep winning spring training games. I'm ready. Literally last week, I was miserable. It's over, right? I mean, this is what it's like to be a Cubs fan. I got the Cubs sweatshirt on today. Chris Bryant's crushing the ball. They're winning. I don't care if it's spring training games. They're winning. Dude, I'll say this. It's incredible. Because the Ricketts are, everyone's saying they're broke. There's like no grass on that field, man, that stadium. That place is packed. No one works, apparently, in Mesa, Arizona.
Well, you know what it is. People in Chicago, you know, and people from across the country, especially people up north, when, you know, instead of being in the snow and being in the ice, you get a chance to go to Arizona for a few days, you're all about it. But the good news for you guys is, you know, Chris Bryant that you saw play in the postseason last year was a broken down, injured Chris Bryant that was in the lineup. And, hey, if he's swinging the bat that well early this year, then that means he's healed up and ready to go. Well, because I think a lot of the Cubs' problems will go away if they get a healthy lineup.
Well, here's the thing that I did like. You know, you saw it already. You know, the Brizzo, the year they won the World Series, him and Anthony Rizzo, they were neck and neck for MVP because they were just having good seasons. They played well off of one another. You kind of seen a lot of videos together. It almost feels like they're kind of trying to go back to sort of that. But what I was impressed by that, and again, I understand it's a spring training game and his first at bat, but it was an off-speed pitch. And you know this from watching it with your Pirates. The way to get Chris Bryant out right now is a curveball. It's a curveball, an off-speed pitch, and he's swinging out in front. He's out. You can see at front foot starts, then the swing comes, and he gets it for the home run. So he can do that. That makes me happy. But look, I'll say this, and look into a lot of the early storylines with a lot of these teams, I do think spring training is somewhat important for a lot of these players, don't you think?
Oh, I think it is. I don't think it really is that important today yet. You know, I mean, we're still in February, but I think about a week from now, I think it's important. I think it's great. Obviously, we just talked about the Marlins guy, Victor Mesa, getting, you know, pulling a muscle. You know, he's going to miss a couple of weeks now because of that. And I think it's, and this is the reason why you see guys, I mean, play three innings and get out. And then by mid-March, they're playing six innings and exit. You know what I mean? They're just easing themselves into it. And I think it's important for these guys to get reps. You look at what happened last year with a lot of guys that didn't sign until late. They got off this bad start. And, you know, for some of them, a bad start in April can roll into a, you know, struggling in May, and then it can really roll. So, I mean, I think it's important for these guys to be out there getting reps. Not necessarily, you know, if you're not doing great, that's fine, because you got plenty of time to work on it. But you just need to get the work in.
We did get a deal, pretty big deal recently, $260 mil for Nolan Arenado. Still waiting on Bryce Harper. At the top of the hour, Sports, and I don't know if you are on hold and you could hear it. It looks like it's coming down to long-term versus short-term. And if it's short-term, I hate to say it, but Grass Dodgers could be getting this guy. And that just absolutely frightens me.
You know, the thing that keeps standing out, you know, when you and I were talking about Bryce Harper back in October last year, and everybody knew Philly was going to be going for him. You know, and we even talked about it. We said he's probably going to land in Philadelphia. It's just a matter of how many years and for how many dollars. If the fact that he hasn't signed with Philly, obviously he doesn't want to go there.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't think it's no longer you know, the reports are that they offered more than what Machado got with the Padres.
Wow.
I think he was waiting for somebody else to come through and
to match
now
it.
Now it's probably an ego thing, and obviously your agent being Scott Boras sometimes could get in the way. But if they're going to offer, if the Dodgers are going to offer 4 years, you know what I mean, and he'll be a free agent again in a few years. Obviously, he's a Vegas guy. He wants to probably be on the West Coast. I think Graps Dodgers may end up landing him. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I was still thinking Philly. You know what I mean? But now, all of a sudden, I think he obviously hasn't signed with Philly, so there's something holding him up. There's something keeping him from going there.
Well, I'll say this. I think the logic makes a ton of sense. If he wanted to be a National, he'd be a National. So those are the four teams that ESPN is listing. I think it's the Dodgers or Giants. I'm just looking at their teams and where they go, and I think it's going to be interesting to hear from Todd on this, because he keeps saying he'll see it when he believes it, but if it's with the Giants, his dreaded rival, you can imagine what that'll be like. But I look at the ballparks, I look at the teams, and I look at the potential for success. I'm Bryce Harper. This isn't a decision for me. The Dodgers have gone into World Series in back-to-back years. I mean, they're a good baseball team, and you add that pop, you go out there and you play. I don't know. With the cold and the weather, I think Chavez Ravine's it's a no doubter for me.
I think it's a no doubter. I mean, obviously they're not offering the 10-year deal, so that's the only. Do you want to be the highest paid player, you know, long term, or do you want to play in Chavez Ravine? The San Francisco Giants are a long ways away from the San Francisco Giants from a few years ago. You know what I mean? Adding Bryce Harper to that team may get them the third or fourth place. You know what I mean? It's like I don't think that team's ready for the World Series. You get Bryce Harper on that Dodger team, and I know analytics will say that's too many left-handed hit batters, but the more talent you put on a team, they'll figure it out. Those guys all can hit. I think that puts them over the top and probably would be the National League favorite, if they're not already. I mean, a lot of people probably already have them as the NL favorite, but I think they really are in good shape if they end up with Bryce Harper.
I'm going to leave you with this just because it's a funny thing, right? You know, Darvish didn't play at all, essentially, for the Cubs last year. You know, I really like that signing, right? Part of his comeback plan is doing interviews in English. There you go. That'll get him on the mound and healthy, Tim. How about that?
Well, you and I both laugh. Well, we both, I don't know much if you laugh, but when Yu Darvish got signed last offseason, I remember our text message conversation, and we were like, what? What are they doing? And, well, it turned out to be a bad signing, but I know the guy's got talent. It's just a matter for him to stay healthy, and we'll see. I mean, I think if Darvish is healthy, the Cubs are in a much better situation. But that's a very good Central. You take a look at that division from top to bottom.
Yeah, I know.
There's no gimmies. You know, you look at the Nationals, and you look at the Dodgers division, there are some teams that aren't going to be very good. And you look at the Central, I mean, Pirates and Reds, they're not going to be
playoffs. Yeah, I mean,
they're going to be around 500, those two teams.
Yeah, Yasiel Puig. A member of the Reds
and
now.
The Cardinals, I think, are very good. And the Brewers, you know, they won the division last year with, what, 95 games? And then, of course, I'm not one of those people that think the Cubs are dead by any means. I still think the Cubs are they're going to make at least one more run. And you know what I mean? And we'll see, probably more, depending on, you know, they got some impending free agents coming up after this year. They're going to have to start paying some money. And if they're already poor, then I don't know how they're going to keep paying these guys. But I really think that's just some sort of, I'm not sure exactly where that storyline's going, but I just think they couldn't sign Harper because they know they're going to have to pay Bryant and they're going to have to pay Baez and go from there.
Yeah, we'll continue as we get closer and closer to March here and some more games and some more storylines going in. Tim, as always, appreciate it. Safe drive down to Thibodeau. If you get a chance to call Tulane and Nichols over on CST, 6 p.m. first pitch on that. Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
Looking forward to it. Hopefully it stays dry.
There he goes, Tim Grubbs. Quick break. We come back. Jason Muntz covers the AAF over there in Memphis. He will talk a little bit about Zach Mettenberger. He's going to be getting the start this weekend. So we'll talk a little bit about that coming up next at the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
She worried me so.
Car
shopping? Shop now online or in person at Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Greg LeBlanc Toyota, our new express store, makes shopping online easier than ever. And we now offer home delivery. Get the all-new 2019 Tundra TSS off-road for just $32,990. That's just $32,990 for a new off-road Tundra four-door. All Louisiana residents are welcome to participate in Greg LeBlanc Toyota's low, low prices on new Toyotas. Shop online.
Shop now
at GregLeBlancToyota.com and save today. Tundra model 8239 includes $3,500 rebate plus TTNL.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning-fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Local Tuesday music, anything from New Orleans, Louisiana, or anything involving, or even just saying the name. We're good. We'll play it. SportsHangoverMusic@gmail.com. If you have a link, if you have any local music you want us to play, if you're a local artist, want to be heard, we'll play it. Just send us the tunes over there. Link to SoundLink or your MP3, we'll definitely do it. Jason Munz joins us at Munz, L-Y, M-U-N-Z-L-Y, is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Talk a little bit about what's going on over in Memphis with the Express and the AAF Football League. What's going on, Jason? How are you this afternoon?
Gus, I am good. How about yourself?
Doing fantastic, man. I wanted to quickly say I loved your work and appreciated what you did over at the Hattiesburg American covering my Southern Miss Golden Eagles. A huge follow, obviously, especially during the baseball season. Like, you actually know how to use Twitter. I saw videos. I saw pictures. I saw interviews. It was great. I was like, finally, I get a way to cover and see what the school's up to, man. I appreciate that.
No, well, I appreciate you saying that. It's awful kind.
All right, so let's get a little bit into Memphis here. Look, obviously there's a lot of follow when Zach Mettenberger's name pops up here. I still go back to that game, man, against Georgia where, you know, that game where it was going back and forth in between the hedges and it was just like an air raid show. I thought this guy had some potential. He went to the Titans. You kind of saw it a little bit here and there in flash. What have we seen with the AAF with him coming back last week and almost providing a comeback for Memphis and Orlando?
Yeah, he was called upon in a pinch. Well, I guess not necessarily a pinch, really. The Express went into Orlando last week against Steve Spurrier and his Orlando Apollos, and they were 0-2 already with Christian Hackenberg, the former second-round pick of the New York Jets out of Penn State. Had a very nice career at Penn State, didn't work out in the NFL. He bounced around from the Jets to the Raiders to the Eagles to the Bengals and finally landed with the Express. And, you know, they were giving him a chance to
run the ship, and he struggled pretty badly. And so he threw two interceptions in the first half against Orlando last week, and that was all they needed to see. That was all Mike Singletary needed, and he turned to Zach Mettenberger there in the second half, and it didn't take long for him to kind of kick things into high gear. He threw a touchdown on his third pass attempt of the season. This is the guy who hasn't thrown a pass in a competitive game since 2015.
Wow.
His last year with the Titans, and here he just comes right out of the gate. You know, again, Christian Hackenberg struggled pretty badly. He had not thrown a touchdown in 10 quarters, and it takes Zach Mettenberger three attempts, and he throws one. Nice drop in the bucket from 30 yards out, and then later in the game throws a 40-yard touchdown. Same type of deal where he just lays it up over the top and into the breadbasket. Yeah, he had a great debut for sure.
You had a chance to talk to him yesterday. How is he viewing this opportunity in the AAF?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of what we talked about when it was just the two of us, and a lot of what we talked about was things he learned from not only his time in Tennessee, but also in San Diego and Pittsburgh, and the time that he was away from football completely. He would have, if a situation like this one where he had gone to a team where he probably should have been starting from day one, and wasn't given didn't necessarily win the job in training camp, but he felt like he should have, or he could have definitely performed better than the guy that they did start with. He would have, handled it a lot differently, and probably by his own admission, it would have been counterproductive. But because of the things that he went through in Tennessee, in Nashville with the Titans, and also in San Diego and Pittsburgh, like I mentioned before, he took it in stride, didn't get frustrated, or tried his best not to get frustrated, and it worked out. He sees this as an opportunity to potentially get back to the NFL. I think that's what everybody's goal here is, either to get back to the NFL or get to the NFL, open some eyes for the first time with NFL people, and in his case, he's 27 years old. He's probably running short on time, shorter on time than most people. But if he shows he can go out and perform at a high level in this league, then maybe there will be somebody who gives him a shot as maybe like a backup situation, or we've seen it already before.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Johnson was the number one pick in the AAF draft with San Diego Fleet. And the Redskins, before he even played a game in the AAF, the Redskins called him up, and he, I think, started three games for them. So anything's possible.
No doubt. And of course, Jason, one of the things that you look at with Memphis here is, them playing in the Liberty Bowl against Saturday at 3:00. It's, how has the AAF been received over there in Memphis?
I wouldn't say it has been a tremendous reception locally. You've got some, they've drawn some interest from, the SEC footprints that are around Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Oxford, you've got Starkville, you've got even Tuscaloosa, Nashville, Knoxville, and then there's some, the SEC's obviously got a footprint up in, over in Louisiana and Arkansas and places like that, even Kentucky. So I think they've done well in terms of that, but locally, Memphis is very much a basketball first, region, I guess,
mm-hmm.
or city. And so it takes a lot for the people around here to sort of let their guard down and fall in love with something football, with football, even if it's the University of Memphis, which has played very, very well and had really nice seasons the last 3 or 4 years. If they're not winning and winning big, then it's a struggle to get people to buy in. And this being a new league and nobody really knows what to expect and that sort of thing, it's been slow. Slower than probably some of the other cities, but I think as far as the league as a whole is concerned, it's doing pretty well.
Jason Muntz covers Memphis over there at Memphis News, the way to follow over there, and, of course, him personally at Muntz LY personally on Twitter. You know, one of the things that I think it would be interesting to follow this league, obviously a lot of players trying to, as you said, the goal is to get to the NFL. I got to imagine coaches too, right? I mean, Mike Singletary is as big a name as it was, though he had a brief stint in the NFL as a head coach there a little bit. What's it been like to cover him?
It's been fine. he's not the most talkative individual I've ever come across. And even when he does talk, you kind of got to pry a little bit to get past the, generic responses. But but it's been fun to watch him coach. I mean, he's one of the best linebackers, one of the best defensive players to ever play the game, and that was a treat for me. I was down in San Antonio for the AAF training camp for a couple of days in January, and he was as intense as it gets out there, going through drills and things with linebackers and defensive linemen. So that's been fun to watch. But yeah, no, I mean, the league you're talking about the AAF being sort of a springboard. It's not just, you're right. It's not just players. It's not just head coaches, but also assistant coaches,
right?
Officials, referees, even the general manager, even all up into the front office and stuff like that. It's truly a developmental league across the board. I know they don't like to necessarily broadcast themselves using that term developmental, but behind the scenes they all use it. So it's again, across the board, it's a developmental league for everybody.
You know, one of the things, Jason, because I mean, it's just true. When you click on staff on a lot of these different teams, there's some former players that I guess maybe this is an opportunity to kind of see what it's like to actually be a coach. I mean, Pepper Johnson with the linebackers. We've seen a couple of big receivers and defensive backs that have played that we recognize in the NFL. And maybe this is a good way to kind of see if this is where they want to go. So I think that's something that's interesting to me, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, without question. O.J. Otagwe is the defensive backs coach here in Memphis. You mentioned Pepper Johnson. Matt Singletary is the defensive line coach. He's somebody who's obviously trying to make a way for himself. Trying to think of some other words. For a time, you had Michael Vick as the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Legends team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's there anymore, but, a lot of guys like that who are former players who are kind of probably auditioning, so to speak, for, to see if they could make it here, then they could convince an NFL team that they could help them. So, it's been interesting to sort of, look at the coaching staffs across the league, because you've got a good mix of people of up and comers, and you've also got guys with a lot of NFL experience who just haven't necessarily made huge names for themselves over the courses of their career. David Lee is one who's the offensive coordinator here in Memphis, but he's been around forever. And most recently, I think he was the quarterback's coach for the Cleveland Browns in 2017. So, and a lot of guys like him. But, yeah, it's a good mix of up-and-comers and guys who have been around the block.
Jason Muntz, part of the USA Network, the Commercial Appeal. Go check him out on Twitter, at Memphis News. If you want to follow Jason personally, it's at Muntz, L-Y, M-U-N-Z-L-Y. Dude, appreciate it finally getting a chance to chat with you a little bit and give us a little update on that. We'll touch base with you as the season goes on, especially see what's going on with Zach.
Sounds good. I look forward to it. Thanks.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much. Again, Zach Mettenberg, former LSU quarterback, getting the start this weekend for the Memphis Express. Quick break. We come back. You have yet to hear it. I'll let you hear what LeBron had to say after his loss yesterday. And I got to play the Colin Cowherd thing because this is hilarious. This is literally one of the guys that trashed the city, trashed the I can't believe they didn't take the Lakers Godfather offer. AD, no one was ever going to win here. Why even have it? Move the franchise. People want to live here. All this stuff. Wait to how he talks about the Lakers. And LeBron, well, is his teammates, of course. Sports Hangover, Hour 3. Phone lines are open the rest of the way. No more guests. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime in. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
Rockin' Fix is Bayou Country's premier technology one-stop shop. From iPhones and Galaxies to iPads and tablets, Drop-In Fix has quick turnaround service for all your devices. Stop by our Houma or Thibodeau locations or find us on Facebook. From laptops and desktops to TVs and printers, Drop-In Fix can get your devices back up and running in no time. Drop-In Fix, the Tri-Parish's premier technology one-stop shop.
Springtime is almost here. It's the perfect time to tackle the next job on your list. And AutoZone has the free services to help you do it. With the AutoZone Rewards Program, members get more, like a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. And right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic or Full Synthetic High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for $17.99 after a $15 AutoZone gift card by mail. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Hi, this is Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, inviting you to take a Louisiana staycation. Do you know the story of the Baroness de Pentalva? Learn how she helped design Jackson Square and the impact her life had on the French Quarter at the Cabildo now. You have a sports fan in the family? The Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame in Natchitoches is just a ticket. One of 9 museums that tell thousands of stories to feed your soul. Plan your family staycation at one of our great museums in Louisiana at LouisianaTravel.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Office of Tourism.
New Orleans Pelicans basketball. Do it big.
To the trail. Off the floor. Who hammers a right-hand dunk and draws the foul on the play.
Picks it up, shoots for three. Good, good, good. Drew Holiday.
Hi, this is Sean Kelly. Join Daniel Salerson and me as the Pelicans take on the Los Angeles Lakers Wednesday at 9:30
on ESPN Radio, New Orleans.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Luke Johnson of the TomSpeakUnanola.com checking in. He just landed in Indianapolis. Asked him yesterday if he got his second to chime in. Remember, he had a piece yesterday about the combine and 14 local players from Louisiana that would be making their way over there. So as soon as he calls, we'll put him on and see what's going on over there, what he had to talk about. I want to play this because it's funny. I do think it's a little bit funny. So LeBron James was asked about making this playoff push. Is it a distraction? What do you think? What do you think the answer is going to be? Here we go.
If you are still allowing distractions to affect you, how the way you play, then this is the wrong franchise to be a part of, and you should just come and be like, listen, I can't do this. Like, seriously, if you're distracted by playoff pushes and then all the stuff that's been talked about this year, just come and do your job. We do our job at a high level, and you know that's not a distraction. That's what you want. That's what you want every game. You want to feel like you're fighting for something.
You know, I understand what he's saying, and it makes sense, and I get it. My goodness, there was such a thing with the video that you were just seeing yesterday, of him playing defense in just a very awkward manner, as in lack thereof, And I don't know, man. Like I said, it's interesting to hear a lot of different people today kind of bringing up if he's the guy that, that is the one that's messing up the chemistry or not, right? Here's Colin Cowherd from earlier today.
He hasn't worked so far. He's never bought in. Some of it's not his fault. This roster isn't guys he'd connect with. It's back yet. And then it's old knuckleheads and one-year contract guys he doesn't relate to. LeBron bought into Cleveland for the first 6 years until he was worn down. He bought into Miami. He bought into Kevin Love and Kyrie for a couple years. He didn't buy into this team. He didn't have any close friends on it. Miami felt like an absolute buy-in day one. Duncan, Brady, you got to buy in. And let's be brutally honest, we're 59 games into the season. There's no juice. There's no energy with the Lakers. It didn't even feel big. I'll be the first to admit, I thought this would feel big. It's not about you predicted 43 wins, I predicted 48, some predicted 45. But we all predicted, well, this would feel big. Lakers plus LeBron. This has never felt big. There's no juice. There's no energy. I mean, LeBron looks around. He's like, Brandon Ingram? Has he hit a ceiling? Lonzo Ball hurt again? Luke Walton couldn't win when I was gone? Defensively, zero consistency all year. I mean, you can even hear it when LeBron talks. You can tell. He's still trying to figure it out. When the star doesn't buy in, you can feel it. It's palpable, and the players know it. Then the stories come out and the trade rumors come out where they're all basically furniture about to be moved, and they go from he didn't buy in to he really doesn't like us.
Yeah, that's pretty much nails it right then and there. We'll talk a little bit more about that as Luke Johnson has joined us and has checked in. By Luke Johnson's the way to follow him on Twitter, at By Luke Johnson. Luke, man, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Gus, I'm doing great. It was a little bit of a culture shock getting to my hotel in Indy, because all the rooms are heated. It's been a long time since I've been in a heated room. It's like a weird feel to it.
I hear you. My most important question in any of the days you're going to be paying attention to, do you have reservations at St. Elmo's? I really miss that place.
That's up to Josh Katzen's mean. He's my food Sherpa. We're gonna hit up a couple different steakhouses, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt, man, for sure. Look, there's a lot of different storylines, obviously, Saints related. Look, I get they don't have a ton of draft picks for it and stuff, and I know Josh and you'll be talking about that, but there's a lot of state players. And one of the things I touched on yesterday was your piece that you put out. Look, you got 14, should be 15. I'm still trying to scratch my head about the Louisiana Tech player, something that he did as a freshman on a simple battery case. And I'm not saying, look, I get it. You got charged. I hear you. But you're good enough to come do the interviews. You're good enough to come do the medical, but you're not good enough to do any of the drills. That didn't make any sense to me. To you?
I don't think blanket policies ever make sense, especially in something like this. I think you can look at it at a case by case basis. There's only three guys this is affecting. I think you should be able to, like, say, okay, he was charged with simple battery as a freshman. Does that warrant, not allowing him to, especially a small school guy, he has right. a lot of room to improve his stock in something like this. Now they got to have people go to a pro day in Ruston to see what this guy can do. I don't really agree with that, but I think I have just a general disagreement with blanket policies like that.
So obviously one of the things to look at, we'll start with LSU. We've got six players that will be participating here. And look, I'm already uncomfortable if I'm a Saints fan seeing, the Bucks pages saying Devin White would fit perfectly in Tampa Bay and things like that. He's going to go high. There's three other teams in the division they're going to pick well before the Saints and may have a shot from that. Is he, I guess, the guy that really highlights the six from LSU?
Yeah, I think so. I just based on what I watched, you know, while he was playing in college. The guy's a monster. And, you know, I think LSU and Saints fans, you know, people who are fans both, are probably pretty sick of seeing LSU linebackers go on to do great things with division rivals. Deion Jones killing the Saints with Atlanta and Quan Alexander turning into a very nice pro with the Bucks. Yeah, certainly you'd hope that guy doesn't go to, you know, Panthers, or you imagine putting that guy with Luke Kuechly. Oh, my God. Or, you know, the Bucks or the Falcons. I think you wouldn't want to see that. But they have absolutely no shot at getting him. I think he's going to be somebody who goes off the board, you know, top 15 picks, just because I have a feeling he's going to show out here this week. Guy's just an absolutely unreal athlete. And on top of that, he was really super productive. He's the complete package. The only thing holding him back is he doesn't play like one of the glamour positions, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think we've seen teams go a little bit higher for linebackers in the last couple of years. You had Roquan Smith last year going to the top 10. You know, he's a very similar player to Devin White. So I would expect him to be the first one off the board, even though, you know, when we were kind of first talking about the draft and, you know, December, when all the early enrollees started coming out, I think everybody thought Greedy Williams was the guy, but he's apparently kind of slipping a little bit.
I'll say this, Luke. I think one of the things that you've seen, especially towards the end of the season, just following the Saints, you got some linebackers that can make plays, and especially in today's NFL, the ball is just getting rid of quicker. I mean, it just is, right? I mean, it's getting harder and harder to get sacks, dumping it off. You've kind of seen, I wouldn't call it resurgence, but running backs that can catch out the backfield, quick slants, you know, you're seeing what the Rams really try to do and end the rounds. If you can have a versatile and speedy linebacker, I'm thinking of the Cowboys. I mean, those two guys in the middle have really set it. The Saints game at Carolina, those two linebackers right there in the middle just dominated, man, double-digit tackles in there. That's why I'm kind of nervous if I'm a Saints fan of him maybe going in that division, because I think Devin White, man, was that guy's going to make a difference the second he steps on the field.
Absolutely. And, you know, you don't need to look any farther than what DeMario Davis did to the Saints defense last year.
Good point.
You know, they got a big, physical, fast linebacker who could cover backs or tight ends, and that completely changed that defense. You know, that was the best defense the Saints have had in years. And I think DeMario Davis is a big key why. And if you add a guy like Devin White into let's say he goes to the Falcons and you put him and Debo Jones on the same field.
No, don't say that. You
know, I mean, but seriously, like, you got to go up against that twice a year, and that's gonna make one of your most potent offensive weapons, and Alvin Kamara, have a much more difficult time than he would otherwise have.
Deion Jones, aka Saints Killer. I mean, that guy literally.
Oh my God, that guy's got unreal stats against the Saints. If he played every game against the Saints, he could retire after 3 years of the Hall of Famer.
No, it's Saints Killer, no doubt about it. So you just literally, let's move on, because I don't want to think of Devin White and Deion Jones in the same backfield. In that linebacking field. Look, you mentioned tight end, Alabama's tight end Irv Smith. You wrote about him, went to my high school, Brother Martin High School. That's a position of need. And I know they don't have the picks and all that, but look, Mickey and Sean have shown the ability to move up and down and around that. Do you think they do draft the tight end? I thought last year was a pretty good tight end class. I was surprised they did not draft the tight end. Do you think the Saints do draft the tight end this year?
Yes. And maybe not. I think it really depends on how much, the problem is that the resources are so limited. So, you know, I think it's a pretty good tight end class this year, but do you want to use that one pick you have in the first four rounds on a tight end, to really get somebody who you know, or you think you know, can make an impact on the team this year? Mm-hmm. Or do you use some of your cap space to sign somebody like Jared Cook, who you know can plug in and play and be a pretty big threat immediately, and then, you know, use the pick on a tight end in a year or two. It's kind of difficult to handicap, you know, what I think they're going to do in this draft, just because their resources are so limited. You know, tight end is certainly something I would expect them to address in the draft. Mm-hmm. But they've also got needs at receiver or defensive tackle. When you think about, you know, basically only one guy on the roster right now that's signed, who played a lot of reps this year, and that's David Onyemata, and he might be suspended for the first couple games of the year. You know, we don't know when Sheldon Rankin's going to come back. Tyler Davidson's a free agent. I think that's a big trouble spot, too, that maybe people are overlooking.
Yeah, man, so, you know, you just said that brings up a very good point. Rankin's, his health, and you're right, with Onyemata, with the marijuana charge, you don't know if the NFL does suspend him a couple of games. Look, D-tackle, I've said that. That's a position of need because, yeah, that is an area that you're just seeing when you have health, getting that push up the middle on the quarterback, stopping the run. The Saints probably surprised a lot of people on how well they stopped the run. It's clearly, I think, one of the reasons people thought that Rankins had a good year. It wasn't just the sacks and the number he had there, but stopping the run, Luke.
Yeah, no. They were arguably the NFL's best run defense. I think they led the NFL in yards per carry against. I think the Bears had, like, they finished like 2 yards ahead of them for the NFL lead in overall rushing yards allowed. And a big part of that was Rankins being disruptive. It was, you know, they had the ability to rotate Onyemata and Davidson in there. And you know, I think those guys played such a huge role, and there's a lot of uncertainty with that next year. And you know, you can't just put the whole burden on that linebacker core or, you know, Cam Jordan or you know, whatever on the ends. I think they've got to address that defensive tackle position. You know, we could see him bring Tyler Davidson back, but you know, even if that's the case, they've still got some potential depth issues early in the year.
Luke, before we let you go, Friday it's running back, O-line, special teams, place kicker. Saturday, quarterback, receiver, tight end. Sunday, defensive line, linebacker. And Monday's defensive backs. Which of those days are you more interested just to kind of watch and cover and see these drills at the combine?
It's definitely Saturday.
Saturday,
we're
right?
Talking about three positions right there where you know, Saints could address, you know, they could use some help in all three of those positions. That, you know, assuming Teddy Bridgewater is going to sign with somebody else, which is my assumption. You know, I think they're going to have to look at a quarterback. And potentially, you know, draft a guy who they think could maybe be Drew's successor, or at least give him some depth there so they don't have to rely on Taysom as the number two, considering how much they play him all over the field. You know, and then obviously receiver and tight end are two positions that everybody looked at as, you know, maybe kind of weak spots on the 2018 Saints. So, Saturday's definitely going to be the day I'm watching, most closely, just trying to find some diamonds in the rough, guys.
Yeah, boom. That's exactly what I was going to ask you, not to interrupt you there, but that was, because that's how I was going to ask you that question on Saturday. You just piqued my interest. You're right. Because here's an interesting kind of thing to think about. You would have thought that the heir apparent to Drew would have been a high draft pick, right? I mean, last year, you know, maybe they would have taken, you know, somebody early when they had that pick instead of going with, you know, where they went at defensive end. But you could be looking at this team trying to find, as you said, somebody can play quarterback, but they don't have high rounds to pick some. So it could be, like you said, diamond in the rough. It could be a quarterback that's not going to go until Saturday that they maybe see if they can work and stuff. It's kind of weird when you think about it from that perspective, at least this year, if you're going to draft a quarterback.
Yeah. And you know, it's hard to do. It's very hard to do. I mean, there's only, you look around the NFL right now, there's only maybe, you know, 15 guys who you could classify as franchise quarterbacks, and right. Some of those guys are, you know, you're kind of shaky. So, but some of those, not all those guys are high round draft picks. You know, they could stumble upon a Russell Wilson, or you know, somebody like that they could pick up in the back end of the second, or you know, in the what I guess the fifth round is their next pick. So you have to get lucky there. But yeah, you have to. Try to unearth some diamonds there.
Just looking for Tom Brady. That's all you're doing. No one else is doing it. That's all you're doing.
It's happened once before. It'll happen again.
Exactly. At by Luke Johnson, him and Josh up there at the Combine. Thanks for stopping in, man. I appreciate it. We'll be keeping an eye on the coverage and talking about it the rest of the week. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, for sure. Luke Johnson covering the Combine and the Saints kind of outlook there and all the Louisiana schools that are there. Edna Carr, Shreveport, Woodland, Evangel Christian, Brother Martin, St. Aug, Pineville, Ruston, Calvary Baptist, North Webster, Jesuit, West Feliciana, another player from West Feliciana, and University High. pretty incredible when you think about it, right? I'm telling you, this state's rich in football, and they're all going to be at the Combine. Trying to play on Sundays. Final segment of the Sports Hangover coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.
The best kept secret on the Bayou is, well, it's Raceland Auto Center. The secret is, number one, they do the repairs right the first time. Number two is you don't need an appointment. Number three, they use top quality parts. Number four, they're honest and reliable. Number five, they sell most brand name tires. Number six, they're a bumper to bumper full service center. Number seven, they charge small town prices on repairs in comparison to dealership prices. Repeat customers always become family. Raceland Auto Center, Highway 308 in Raceland.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
New Orleans Pelicans basketball. Do it big.
To the trail. Off the floor. Who hammers a right-hand dunk and draws a foul on the play.
Picks it up, shoots for three. Good, good, good. Drew Holiday.
Hi, this is Sean Kelly. Join Daniel Salerson and me as the Pelicans take on the Los Angeles Lakers Wednesday at 9:30
on ESPN Radio, New Orleans.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Our thanks to Luke Johnson, Jason Munch, Tim Grubbs, Ty Rapanini, David Grubbs. If you missed any of this, News Magic, Voodoo Powers. No, I'm kidding. Podcasts, follow us at ESPN Radio NOLA. The intern, whenever he gets, it's been quiet in here, hasn't it? It's because he's writing papers. And like, I don't know what's going on over there. He had like some class or something to do today. He had to go meet with an English teacher. Hope he's not in trouble, Joey. Who knows what he's doing? Jordan, the intern. We may see him tomorrow. I don't know. But he's doing all this stuff remotely right now. Exactly, Robert Kraft. No. I don't think he's in Juniper, Florida. Yeah, no, he definitely does not have that kind of money. I can assure you that. One of the things I thought was really cool yesterday, and I'll play this. Did you see what Doc Rivers did yesterday? Mavericks taking on the Clippers, LA up 121-112, 9 seconds left in the ball game, and this happens. And I thought it was a really cool gesture. For sure. Doc Rivers walks on over to the scores table, grabs the PA mic.
Say you're out in four. Oh, very, very nice. Very nice. I'll stand up to that one, man. That's something. Dirk Nowitzki, number 41 at the age of 41. A 21-year career. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah, this is great. What an unbelievable gesture by Doc Rivers.
And he's leading me.
Thought that was really cool to hear Doc Rivers as the ovation went on for a while. All the Clippers players walked over to him. Patrick Beverly.
With a hug from Patrick Beverly. 9 seconds to go in the ball game, and
that's a great sign of respect, isn't it? Head coach stops the game and tells the crowd to give him a standing ovation and to cheer one of the greatest to have played. Dude, Nowitzki, when a couple of years ago, especially that finals in which, especially how he clapped back at LeBron a couple of weeks ago during the All-Star, man, he was incredible. He's really one of the pioneering players, I think, at that size to just knock down threes the way he did. It was incredible. I thought it was so cool, though, that Doc Rivers stopped the game, 9 seconds left, game in hand, and wanted to recognize him. It's his final season for Dirk Nowitzki. That's why he and Dwayne Wade were in the All-Star game together there. So I thought it was a really cool gesture. And in today's day and age, we're covering the NBA, where it kind of seemed like it's all childish. I thought that was a really cool sign of respect. That's AD and LeBron, what respect and legacy is all about. Matt Moscone, after further review, up next on ESPN New Orleans.